The text today is from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. It's the story of the feeding of the 5,000. I would invite you to put yourself in the place of the little boy, in the place of the little boy who had the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Let's read it together, or I'll read it for you. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, or the Sea of Tiberias, same sea, different name. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs. John is the book of signs. First sign is the water to wine, then the healing. Several signs in the book of John that reveal Jesus as the Son of God. It's all the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up to a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. And Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him. He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half year's wage to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, son of Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place. And they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." May God add His blessing to this reading of His Word. I want to share with you this truth that jumped out at me when I read several times this text. A faithful act in obedience to Jesus extends beyond your greatest imagination. A faithful act in obedience to Jesus extends beyond our greatest imagination. This is National Bible Week. It's also the 400th anniversary of the making of the King James Version of the Bible, which several of us grew up on, 1611. It was dangerous work to put the Bible in the hands of everybody. The clergy who were in power didn't want that to happen. They didn't want to give the power to people who might, in their view, misunderstand or might take power on themselves. But thankfully, about the time of Martin Luther, right before that, John Johannes Gutenberg came along with the printing press. Oh, yeah. Well, wait a minute now. Yeah, Bob Weston has gotten these slides together. So here's the Bible, 400 years. Let's go to the next one. Today, many of us take having the Bible for granted. And every year when we pass out these Bibles to the third graders, I want to remember what it took to get to that place of translating the Bible into English for everybody. And the next line, imagine if the Bible could only be read in Greek, or the New Testament only read in Greek, or the Old Testament only read in Hebrew. It would be so limited. But there's an inner impetus to get the Word of God out to people. And so then, imagine if the Bible were a scroll or a clay tablet. And then the next. Before 1440, Bibles were made by hand. And so you can imagine there were so few of these. But then the invention of the printing press came into being with Johannes Gutenberg. Just the perfect divine timing for the Protestant Reformation when Martin Luther felt compelled, wanted to get the Bible into the hands of everybody at great risk to his own life. He had to be hid away. And people came looking for him. And it was in 1522, he had the first translation into the German. And then later on, there's this fellow, William Tyndale, who was the key player in creating the English translation of the Bible. He grew up in England, studied at Oxford. There was, again, huge opposition to him doing his work of translation. The people at Oxford were intelligentsia. They spoke to each other in Latin. They didn't want to vulgarize, as it were, the Word of God and make it available to people, regular people. But William Tyndale knew that it was critically important to get the Scriptures out to everybody. And so, I think in 1526, he had his translation of the New Testament. The Bishop of London put out an injunction against it. Tyndale actually had to go onto the continent of Europe to do this. But they smuggled Bibles, these New Testaments, into England. The Bishop of London put out an injunction against it. He preached against it. He forbid any booksellers to sell it. And he had a public burning of all of Tyndale's books. But this would not be put off. A faithful act in obedience to Jesus is beyond our imagination. And so, let's see. And then he, let's go to the next one. The next slide, yeah. He went to Antwerp, Belgium. He translated some of the Old Testament. But he was betrayed and he was captured. He was imprisoned. He was killed. They broke his neck. And he was, body was burned in flames. And his last words were, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." And the next slide. And then in 1603, King James became King of England. 1604, he said, "We're going to create a Bible." And it went from 1604 to 1611. And what came out of that, many people, several key people in the translation process, this amazing translation that was the singular most important literary work, most influential literary work in Western civilization, the translation of the King James Version of the Bible. Tradition says King James examined every page. Bob Weston put in the editorial note that's very unlikely. While it is unlikely, King James was quite the scholar and was very interested in this particular project and examined a lot. And part of, because of his energy, created a much better project. So my point is, a faithful act in obedience to Jesus extends beyond our imagination, because think of what's happened with translations of Scriptures today, and it's possible for every one of us to have in our hands a Scripture of the Bible, a Scriptures, or on our iPhone, or whatever else. 50 years ago, Howard Miller and his wife and a handful of others had a vision, a faithful act in obedience to Jesus, to start a church on the western edge of Gainesville, on a dirt road called 8th Avenue, at the corner of 34th. And you can imagine, you can only imagine what's happened as a result of that faithful act. And then 20 years ago, folks decided that it would be the best thing, a faithful act in obedience to Jesus, to relocate to 67 acres. And from the very beginning of the DNA of this church, it was about the love of God and God's loving ways and children and youth. And the other night, on Friday night, when lots and lots of people were camping out, I can imagine Howard Miller up in heaven smiling down on this continuing of the trajectory. A faithful act in obedience to Jesus knows no limitation. A few weeks ago, I had the joy of having in my office a young couple, Carly Osborne and Carter Post. They were meeting with me because they're going to get married August 2nd here. And the neat thing about that was Carly is the one who's danced up here maybe a couple, 2 weeks ago. She's been dancing with Disney for 6 or 7 years, I believe. She's in Brazil, but she was back. And I said, "How did you two meet?" And he said, "We met in sunlight and in confirmation class." I said, "Oh, did you guys choose to go there?" "No, we didn't want to go to either one of them, but our parents made us go to them." At least that's how it started out. Carter's very shy. Kelly was a little shy. They met. They were in confirmation class, which is going on these months, and the new class will join in January. And they happen to be prayer partners at the same table in the providence of God. And I just, Carter said, "I always liked her, but I didn't think she would give me the time of day." And eventually he got up enough courage to begin a conversation with her. That's how we guys are. And then they've been Skyping for 7 years while she's been traveling with Disney. And now they're getting married. And I thought of those parents' fidelity to the baptismal vows they had for their children. Not that you force your kids to do things, but that you strongly, strongly encourage your kids. And a faithful act in obedience to Jesus has led to these two young people going to spend the rest of their lives together. Very exciting. The opposite is true. The opposite is true. A wrong act in disobedience to God and God's ways extends beyond our greatest imagination. I just picked up the newspaper and I've kept them the last few weeks, the headlines, November 9th, about Tiger Woods and his disintegration, his internal disintegration, which has affected his golf game immeasurably. I hope he can come back. November 7th, sexual harassment, said the headline, is so pervasive in schools in this country, it has reached a level where it's almost a normal part of the school day. November 6th, is Southern civilization giving way in an age of globalization? Manners are one of the many things central to a Southerner's identity, but they are not primary anymore. Things have eroded. And I don't have time or the will to go into the whole Penn State thing, but a solitary action in disobedience to God's ways has led to enormous, enormous consequences. Thomas Day, a young graduate of Penn State, went on to the 101st Airborne. He was also in that youth program, but he was surrounded by people who loved and cared for him and gave him a sense of confidence. But he said, I no longer have faith in my parents' generation to lead us. It's up to us now. So brokenhearted about my generation's lack of leadership. Pat Dooley yesterday said in the paper, I'm so eager for this football season to get over. Not just because the Gators trailed 22-7 at the end of the first quarter, or that it's not been a great year, but because of the combination of enormous power and enormous money in these university football programs, and now the sort of paying the piper of enormous fallout and scandal. But back to our text. Can't you see that little boy? I can just picture him. He's there beside the Sea of Galilee. He's seen the crowd. He's heard Jesus. He's wormed his way up to the front. Can't you just picture him? He's wormed his way up to the front, and he overhears the conversation between Jesus and his disciples, and he's standing there beside Andrew, and he's pulling on his shirt sleeve, and he's saying, Mister, hey, mister, hey, mister. And Andrew looks down at him and doesn't want to be bothered. And he says, mister, I got 5 barley loaves, and I love barley bread, and I bet everybody here does too, and I got 2 fish, and I bet Jesus can do something with these. And Andrew's probably annoyed by this time, but he talks to Jesus, and Jesus takes those 5 barley loaves, this act of obedience, act of faith in obedience to Jesus, and amazing things happen. And as I thought about what that boy must have felt like as he watched that bread become multiplied to feed all the 5,000, it's sort of like here on Christmas Eve night as the candle is lit and it goes out and out and out. And I've wondered how that boy might have thought about this whole thing and how it changed his life. And I've wondered if that's the very boy that Jesus took, and when the disciples were arguing about who was the greatest or what the kingdom of God was like, and he placed that boy right in their midst and said, if you want to understand what the kingdom of God, here it is. A faithful act in obedience to Jesus extends beyond our wildest imaginations. And every time you and I pray, every time we give in faith and obedience to Jesus, Jesus somehow, because God is in it, will take that and do amazing things. And you can look all around and see what's happened. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we would be the first here. We would be the first here to say we've not always acted in obedience or faith. And we would ask you for your forgiveness for ourselves and all this day. But we would also claim the reality of this text, of this boy who a faithful act in obedience to Jesus, his own little offering in the hands of Jesus, it goes beyond our wildest imagination. And so as we make our offerings today, great or small, whatever it might be, a faithful act in obedience to Jesus, and you, God, take it and use it in ways that we can scarcely even imagine. We pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Troy is going to come and